It's still Rosh Chodesh Iyar. So on Aleph Iyar is the Yahrzeit of Aaron Lichtenstein. And this week we're reading Parshat Kedoshim. And Kedusha was something which he had an incredible interest in. One of the books that was published after he passed away was something that he had worked on himself. He had taken, it was the only time he had taken a quote-unquote sabbatical, was to work on this book, which is a book which is called Kedushat Aviv. The reason he called it Aviv is that his name is Aaron, Aaron ben Yechiel, and Bluma. So it has his parents' name in the book, Aviv. And it's a book which is, for the most part, halacha, and it deals with various aspects of Kedusha and his analysis. So therefore, on his yard side, it really is most appropriate to be talking about Kedusha, because this is something which, as I said, was an absolute interest of his. And somebody wants to actually enter into his thought and to learn his, you know, approach to learning. This is it's not the easiest. It's a book which is, you know, a serious book of a halachic Talmudic analysis, but it's one which is worthwhile and, in my opinion at least, is accessible. If anybody buys it and it's not accessible, so then I take no responsibility. But I think it, and it looks good on the shelf, just in case it proves to be too difficult. But I don't think that it is. Okay, so let us begin. V'diber Hashem al Moshe le'mor d'ber ol kol adat b'nei Yisrael v'amar d'leim kedoshim tiyu ki kadosh ani Hashem alokeichem. So we have this new idea, which is really not a new idea, but it becomes a central idea, and that idea is to be kadosh. Of course we can pose the question, how is it even possible for humans, for people, to have kedusha? So maybe that's asked and answered here. Kedoshim tiyu, why, or how even, ki kadosh ani Hashem alokeichem. That kedusha is something which is results from the relationship which we have with God, or it's only by somehow fulfilling that relationship which allows kedusha. But there is somewhat of a problem, and that would be, what is our working definition of kedusha? So those who may have learned this quote-unquote sugya in the past will know that there's a machloket between Rashi and the Ramban. The Ramban looks very much in the previous section. And essentially, I'll put it like this. According to Rashi, there is this commandment to be separate, kedushim to you, prushim to you, to separate from sin. And on the other hand, the Ramban would see it as more of a global idea. Essentially, aside from the 612 other commandments, kedushim to you is how to go about being kadosh, which means the Ramban very famously tells us that you can have something which he labels a menuval b'rishut haTorah, where somebody essentially does the checklist of all of the mitzvot, but he doesn't do them in a way of achieving kedusha. So therefore, kedusha is for the Ramban the objective, and therefore it becomes something which is independent and something which then colors every other mitzvah, which means, okay, I did it. Now, did I do it in a kadosh way, or did I somehow do the almost impossible, which unfortunately people of all religions are able to succeed in doing, and that is doing something which they believe to be pious, but the way that they go about results in something which is other than piety. That's the beginning of the parsha. Now, if we were to pay attention, we would see a couple of things. One is that there is somewhat of a similarity between Parshat Kedoshim and Parshat Mishpatim, and both of them have this other commonality, and that is that they remind us to some extent of the Aseret HaDibrot, which means there is this sense over here. Again, we go to the next pasuk, still in source 1, Yishimova, Vivti Rov, Ed Shaptotai Tishmar, Ani Hashem. Yes, kind of reminds us of a couple of the Aseret HaDibrot, of Shabbat on the one hand, and dealing with parents on the other hand. I say dealing, not in a disrespectful way. I just didn't want to get into the issue of the Tira'u versus the Kibud, but there is this. It seems to be that the Aseret HaDibrot in the background, and I'll say the same thing again, you get that sense in Parshat Mishpatim. Now, once I compare with Mishpatim, something else hopefully will become a little bit clearer, and that is, I could imagine that Kedusha is only the kinds of things where the nature is that it's spiritual by definition. So then maybe anything, especially in Vayikra, anything which is Mishkan-centric, anything which is has to do with the Mishkan, the Beit HaMikdash, the Korbanot, or I'll put it differently, anything which is ritual, therefore that would be the kinds of thing which is a Kedusha, and therefore all of Sefer Vayikra would be a book of Kedusha, and therefore we had all kinds of examples till this point, and now there's just more Kedusha. But there's something else which emerges right away, and instead of going straight to the Pesukim, I want to use the Midrash, which clearly understands that which I want to say, or I'm going to explain that which the Midrash says. Kedoshim to you, source 2, Vayikra. It quotes, Ahu Dichtiv, and it goes, that's the Pasuk, V'yigba Hashem Tzvakot B'mishpat, that God is somehow going to be elevated by us going about and creating justice. Which means it's not just in the Beit HaMikdash and the ritual per se, it's also going to be, and I'm going to say this in two different ways, one in the judicial system, or I'll say it a little differently, or the interaction between a person and their fellow, which means that the Ben Adam L'Chavero, and not just the Ben Adam L'Makom. And I hope that that then creates the clarity, that Ben Adam L'Chavero is very different from Ben Adam L'Makom. Again, very different. They seem to be completely different realms. And I could have imagined that Kedusha is only the things when I get involved in a Ben Adam L'Makom relationship, when I'm doing things connected to God. But over here, right away, this Midrash says, oh, what does Kedoshim Tiyu mean? That is, Vayigba Hashem Tzvakot B'mishpat. How do you elevate God? And that's really interesting that that's what it quotes. And it continues, Tanya, Amar Rav Shimon ben Yochai, Eimatai Shmo Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which itself is a really interesting turn of phrase. When is God's name, who mitgadal ba'olamo, when is it again, made greater in this world? B'shasha Osa Midat Hadin, when wicked people are treated for their wickedness. And it says similarly in Yecheskel, v'hitgadalti v'hitgadashti. By the way, that should remind you all of something. Yitgadal v'yitgadash shmei rabah. Think back to what Shimon Yochai just now told us. Eimatai shmo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitgadal. So I could have thought that, mitgadel. I could have thought that, oh no, only in ritual, only when I'm saying the Kaddish, and say, no, there's another way of making God's name great as it was. And it says, and that is creating a world where there's a world of justice. So this Midrash, again, it may seem like there's some kind of a disconnect. Kedoshim Tiyu should be only things of ritual, but the Midrash knows something. And it knows, as I said, what we all could have or should have figured out ourselves. And that is, you go a couple verses down the line in Kedoshim, you look at source 3, Lo Tignovu. Again, this is the context of Kedusha. Lo Tignovu, Lo Tichachashu, Lo Tishakru Ishbamito. These are all ways of taking someone else's possessions. By taking things, denying that you found it, lying in court, v'lotishbu b'shmi l'shaker. By the way, that goes back to Shem Hashem, Shem HaGadol. That's the relationship there, or the interrelationship between the action of stealing and between the desecration of God's name. V'chilalta et Shem Hashem Elokecha. And that becomes so interesting because we were just now introduced to a new concept, and that is Chilul Hashem. And by the way, here in a most literal sense, what makes it Chilul Hashem? You swore in God's name to lie. What was the context of the swearing? Most likely it's commenting on the previous verse, and that is that you went and you acted in an unjust way in terms of the rules of justice. So now you go back to that Midrash that talked about, well, what exactly Kedoshim Tiyu is? That's creating justice. Where did that come from? Well, by simply reading the verses as you continue. If we'll go on to Pasuk Tetvav, again, it's still in Source 3, Lo tasu avo b'mishpat, lo tisa p'nei dal, v'lo tar p'nei gadol, b'tzedek tishpor amitecha. So again, it's talking about over here of doing justice in a just way and making sure that we're following not just to get to the right conclusion, but we're actually also fighting. We're also following the proper procedure in order to get there. We're not going to elevate somebody simply because they're weaker, and we're not going to punish somebody. We're not maybe going to help somebody because they're stronger. We're not going to do. We're going to do justice. V'tzedek tishpod amitecha. Again, the continuation of this concept of kedusha. Lo telech rechil v'mecha. Lo tomer al dam reyecha. Ni Hashem. Lo tisnei tochicha bil v'vecha. Hocheich tochicha damitecha. V'lo tisar lo vched. Lo tikom v'lo titor b'nei amecha. V'haft l'orecha kamocha. Ni Hashem. Which are all kinds of laws that we would have said are very nice laws, very fine laws, and maybe they would not have been the first thing we would have chosen when we're thinking about contemplating, well, what exactly is kedusha So now we have the Torah's understanding of what is Kedusha. What does this parsha lead us into? And that is one of the chapters. Again, there's more in that, but that represents one of the chapters in this parsha, Perek Yutet. When we move over to Perek Kaf, we find still there's going to be something which is going to connect it, and you're going to see what it is in a moment. Over here, right away, it talks about something which is called Molach. Now, Molach is interesting, because Molach, as far as we understand it, is killing children in order to serve, to do some kind of ritual, which is an absolute, again, just think about this for a second, in terms of the Ben Adam, the Chavero is literally sacrificed because of the Ben Adam, the Makom, right? That's what Molach is, and it says over here, so that concept of Chilul Hashem is right here as well. But not only that, it also says that this is going to desecrate the holy places. So therefore, this is the opposite of something which is holiness. And therefore, and in a sense, in a metaphor, I'm going to say it again, because I think you all heard as I said it. It really is interesting that I can't divorce the ritual from the interpersonal, but over here, if I'm trying to sacrifice the interpersonal, literally, in order to create the ritual, then something is really wrong, and that is the Chilul Hashem, and obviously not a Kiddush Hashem. It also uses an interesting term along the way, a term which I started last week, didn't get as far as we really should have, but it says, V'hikarti oto v'et v'hichrati oto, from the word karet, v'et kol hazonim acharov levznot acharei molach mikarev hamam. So it's really interesting, it uses the word znut over here. We're going to see in a moment when a midrash is going to pick up on some of this part as well, a couple verses later, also staying away from idolatry, and then it says, v'hitkadashtem v'yitem kedoshim ki ani Hashem Elokeichem. So that really is the continuation of kedoshim to you, right? As I said, we're in the same parasha, we've moved up a chapter, but it's still it's focused on the same thing. Hitkadashtem v'yitem kedoshim. Why? Or how? Ki ani Hashem Elokeichem. Ushmartim et chukotai v'asitim otam ani Hashem mikadishchem. So again, how does the kedusha take place? God infuses us with us. Then it goes into a list, ki ish ish asher yikalel et aviv et imo mot yumat aviv imo kilel domavbo. Again, echoing some of the Aseret Dibrot in terms of honoring the parents. The ish asher yinafet eshet ish asher yinafet eshet reyo mot yumato no efa no efet. And then it goes into a whole list of what we call the arayot. Again, which is something you should say is in that Aseret Dibrot. Here you have a whole list, and then we have the conclusion, Vivdaltem Bena Behemah Torah L'Tumeya Bena Ofa Tumeya L'Tahar, which really is a wrap-up of a good part of Vayikra, because that was all the way back in Parashat Shmini. And we'll skip a little more. V'yitem li kedoshim ki kadosh ani Hashem. V'avdil etchem min ha'amim liot li. Again, following up this other theme that we had seen of not following the practices of others. That, again, really takes us towards the end of Kedoshim. If we will sneak and take a peek into next week's Parsha, we have the same kind of words or concepts or themes returning and coming at us. In Source 5, Kedoshim yula Eloheim v'lo yichalalu shem Elokeihem. Again, same words. Be Kadosh and don't create this Chilul Hashem. Again, in a much very literal sense. And over here it's talking about the requirements of the Kohen, how a Kohen is somebody who's deserving to be one who works in the Mishkan or the Mikdash. But then it goes back to that word that we noticed right before, Isha zona v'chalala lo yikachu, Isha grusha mi'isha lo yichu ki kadoshu lelokav. So again, it creates the needs to be kedusha, and over here it uses the word zona, here in the most literal sense, unlike the other times it was used. V'kidashto ki et lechem elokechu hu makriv, kadosh yelach ki kadosh ani mekadishchem. Again, the same idea. Uvat ish kohen ki techel luznot et aviyah, hi mechalelet ba'ish tisaref. Again, going to this theme of what is kedusha, what is chilul, that people need to have kedusha. How is kedusha possible? It's only possible because Hashem gives and or commands or allows there to be kedusha in the world. Following up a little bit further, that was in Parshat Emma Perek Kafala. Following a little further in Perek Kafbet, we again find similar themes God speaks, the Bel Aron Vanavi Yinazru Mikotche Ben Israel, Velo Yichalu Shem Kotche, Asher Himikadishim Li Ani Hashem. Again, rules of engagement create a Kiddush Hashem and don't allow a Chilul Hashem. Again, these words are going to come out again and again on these themes or these phrases again and again. And we'll just want to move towards the end. Et Hashem Yorimu LaHashem V'Yisiu Otam Avon Hashema V'Ochlam Et Kodshem Ki Ani Hashem Eichem V'Lo Techalalu Et Shem Kodshi V'Nitkadashti B'Toch B'nei Yisrael Ani Hashem Mekadshchem, which, by the way, is really the verse that the Gemara is going to use about the obligation of Kiddush Hashem on the one hand and the prohibition of Chilul Hashem on the other hand. So really what I'm pointing at is that when it started with this Kadoshim Tiyu Ki Kadosh Ani Hashem Elokeichem, it wasn't a one verse. And in a certain sense, I'm really ignoring the whole Ramban versus Rashi technicality about what that word means, because I'm much more interested in thematically in what emphasis it's putting on going through Parshat Kedoshim, going through Parshat Emor, about this obligation of creating Kedusha, about avoiding Chilul Hashem, about trying to infuse different areas of life with Kedusha. We saw one example taking us towards the whole concept of Mishpatim is a part of it, and there is this other element that I want to note as well. In source number 8, again, just interesting how these things come together. And also, just by the way, anybody learning Mishneh Yomi, they would be get up to this in the last day or so, or maybe even today. I don't recall exactly. I'm never on the exact days that everyone else is. This talks about the Mishnah in Sota, and it says that when the Sota, again, is somebody who is guilty of, possibly guilty of znut, or suspected of znut. So you have this idea of kedusha and znut, but listen to one of the things that it says in the Mishnah. And she gets threatened, letting people know about severity of their actions, consequences, and so on. Wine causes lots of trouble. Herbe schokose, and levity causes lots of trouble. Herbe yaldutose, immaturity, can cause a lot of trouble. Herbe shchenim arimose, and bad neighbors can cause lots of trouble. Ase leman shmo hagadol, shenechtav b'kdusha, shlo yimache al hamayim. So this is trying to avoid, most literally, a chilul Hashem, because you're going to write God's name on this parchment, which will then be destroyed, and it gives this warning, you know what, if you're guilty, then just admit guilt in order to avoid God's name being destroyed. That's again, znut, chilul, Hashem, and rather create, allow there to be at least a little more kedusha. Maybe you sacrificed the kedusha in your marriage, but don't cause there to be, again, literally, a chilul Hashem. So it's interesting how all of the various aspects come together over here. In source number 9, which is a little long, we'll see how much of it we have, or you have the patience to go through it. It's another midrash, this time a midrash in Tanchuma, and it starts to tell us about various understandings of what is the idea of Kedusha. Debro ben Yisrael Kedoshim to you. And it says, Ve'igba Hashem Tzvot Ka Mishpat. The same thing. God can be lifted by creating justice. Kashe Yasu Mishpat Ba'akum. And you realize I'm skipping a little bit. And then start quoting verse after verse. Nitzav L'Riv Hashem Ve'omed L'din Amim. Ve'eret Hashem Yosheva Kisei Rom V'nisa. Now that's really interesting, because that is what's going to allow us to coronate God, as it were, is that there being justice in the world allows God, who is the God of justice, to be elevated. Melech Yosheva Kisei Din. That, again, it's something which we're really used to as a Rosh Hashanah theme, but it's saying is that justice in the world is what coronates God. So it's not just that, you know, on Rosh Hashanah, we coronate God who's going to sit in judgment of us, but it's when we are partners with God and create justice in the world, then God gets elevated and God gets coronated, which is, again, really interesting as a background. And so on, we'll quote. And yeah, and then it also goes that somehow we do this and it causes God to be sitting on the throne. And he says, yeah, that's really the case. And then it quotes a pasuk, which out of left field, Shenemar, Sus v'chorum arbayam. So yeah, we recognize the verse. It's easier for us than some of the other ones. It's out of left field in terms of God sitting in justice. Although you can say something else happened right then, that God sat in justice and the nations of the world who were guilty were punished for the guilt of that particular moment. But it's interesting that this whole thing is about God sitting on his throne, the Midah of Din, and all of this has to do with Kedushah. That's the starting point. That's Kedoshim Tiyu, and we need to create a world where there is justice. Just we'll go a little bit more, a little down. It says, Mihen Elu Kisaot Beit David V'Ziknei Yisrael. So therefore, there now seems to be this parallel that God gets coronated and sits on the throne by virtue of justice in the world, but who goes about creating this? And again, this is really where you can say a leap just now took place. Oh, that's what Malchut Beit David is. Malchut Beit David is not just that we need a king to be a nation like every other nation. No, that we need a king in order to create a country that lives by justice and creates justice in the entire region, and for that matter, in the entire world. And that's Malchut Beit David. And as it says, Kisaot LeBeit David, which you now realize that there's a parallel over here. What is Kedushah when God sits in judgment? What is Kedushah? It's actually Malchut Beit David. Malchut Beit David is going to be the manifestation down here below of kingship, which will then bring about the judgment which the king who's coronated above wants to take place on this world, which really then creates this whole nother, maybe even you can say a macro level of Kedushah, Kedoshim Tiyu, and okay, Kedoshim Tiyu, you know, I would have thought, okay, do a mitzvah in a holy way, and over here it's talking about something which is much, much broader than that. It's really the need for Malchut Beit David in order to allow God to be coronated because there is justice in the world, which really then again, does take the Ten Commandments, take the Aseret Dibrot, take the laws, the values that God gave us, how are they going to be manifest throughout the world? That becomes the challenge, and Malchut Beit David is going to be one of the solutions. Continue a little bit more, and I know I'm skipping a little bit, but still I'm in this source at the end of this Midrash Tanchuma. God gets elevated, coronated, lifted up, with justice. It says, but hold on a second, it's not just justice, there's also other things. That's really interesting. Just think back about that midrash. Masei yadai tavu bayam. So over here it's a pasuk in Yeshayahu. Ki berato yiladav masei yadai bekirbo yakdishu shemi. So again, it goes back to this theme. So it's interesting because really there are two different levels of taking us back to the sea, and that it's very deliberate. V'chein hu omer Yisrael asher becha et pa'er v'atem mitkadshim bi v'ani mitkadesh b'chem. And that's what it means, v'itgadashtem v'yitem kedoshim. So this whole thing is talking about this interrelationship between God and man, that we allow God to be elevated and holy as it were, because of course God doesn't need us, but therefore we reveal God to this world and therefore allow God to be elevated in man's minds, in man's consciousness and in man's actions, hopefully. And as we do that, we become elevated and we become kadosh, and therefore there's this wonderful interrelationship. And therefore that, you know, that little verse that we started with, Kadoshim Tiyu, Kadosh Ani Hashem Elokeichem, as I said, it's not just isolated. It goes on through this whole chapter and the next chapter and the next chapter and the next chapter. And to a very great extent, it's something which is going to be here with us in as we continue in Vayikra. Here's another midrash, which again starts from the beginning. Kedoshim, Kedoshim Tiyu. And it notes something, which you can look it up, it's correct. It's chaser. The Kedoshim doesn't have the vav. It's not kadosh with the vav, it's chaser. Chaser vav. L'lam necha she'im yilech adim b'derkei boro kadosh yomar lo. That you, the vav is always a connection, right? The letter vav, right? Remember the vavim in the Mishkan? The vav is a connection, right? Whenever you have vav in a word, in the beginning of a word, the end of a word, it connects to something. So it says over here, kadosh is written in a deficient way, and to say that if you're doing what you're doing in order to be connected to God, again, l'lamdecha she'im yileich adim b'derko bar'o kadosh yomar lo, then there's kedushah. Mi shaholech b'shrut libo v'achar ta'avato yikra, and now it doesn't say kadosh, it says kadesh. Now, the same three letters. L'ficha chaservav. Now, what exactly does the word mean over here? V'yom v'om rabotenu zal ki amartzem ma'ot mi'dol l'idei liyad shel isha kedei listakel ba, lo yinakeh bidino shel gehinom. Because a man who goes over to a woman to get changed, essentially it's saying is that this man is doing this for lustful reasons. Shenemar yad liyad lo yinakeh ra. Uminayin shel pasuk hu midaber bizona. So now, again, I'm sure you weren't, you knew I was going to come back to it. You just didn't know where or how. Now, again, you could be saying to yourself, what just now happened over here? And maybe this will work much better with the Ramban of Kedoshim to you, we need to do things. So it's not just performance. Judaism is never about performance. It's about motivation, and it's about attitude, and it's about transformation. Which means two people could be doing the same two things, and it doesn't mean that both of them are getting to the same objective. And over here, it's talking about the objective, which means the Kedoshim Tiyu, right now it's without the Vav, and you need to bring the Vav into it. You need to have a God consciousness as you're doing what you're doing. Otherwise, what you may end up finding is that instead of having Kedusha, you have something which is very, very different or separate or the opposite from Kedusha. And in order to understand this a little bit better, because maybe it wasn't as clear, if you look in source 11, lo tia kdesha mibnei Yisrael, v'lo ya kadesh mibnei Yisrael, lo tvi etnan zona umachir kelev beit Hashem alokecha, v'chol neder ki tovat Hashem alokecha gam shneim. Which means, I want to work backwards, I can't then say, or a woman, let's say, works as a prostitute, can't say, listen, bottom line is, I made some money, and now I'm going to go and bring a korban with the money. He says, no, it doesn't work that way. God says, that's not kedoshim to you. That's not the holiness that I want. That's not something which is acceptable. And again, along the way over here, use the words kedesha and kadesh, which are, in a sense, the opposite of kedusha. So that's really interesting, but it was going back to, yeah, what's the difference? The difference is the Vav or not the Vav. Kadesha or Kadesh is not the same thing as Kadosh, because in order to be Kadosh, there needs to be some kind of a connection to God, which means even Kedushin. Kedushin is, Areyat Mekudesh Li, Kedat Moshe V'Yisrael, there needs to be something which is done with Kedusha, not something which is done where it is devoid of Kedusha. There is a Sifri. The Sifri is the Medrash HaLechaim Bamidbar. And in a certain sense, this is what got me started to think about this whole topic today. It says, V'yom Hashem al Moshe, Chamisha Asar Pam Nidaber im Moshe B'yom Echad. God spoke to Moshe 15 times in one day. You know, in the Gemara, it tells us that the greatest day in Gemara history is the Bo Bayom. That was the Yom, the day that they took away the guards, the day that Rabbi Gamliel was disposed, the day that Lazar ben Azariah took over. That was the day that everybody was involved in discussions. And the Gemara tells us that the Masechet Ediot was discussed on that day, and all kinds of things were resolved on that day, and every question that there was, everything was resolved. That is the day. So over here, this major thing, yeah, there's a day, there is a major day in the Chumash. Now, we know about this because we've learned before, but we did not realize it really goes this far. Which day am I talking about? So just to make sure that we understand, V'yom Moshe Moshe Chamisha Asar Pam Nidaber Im Moshe B'yom Echad V'eze Yom V'eze Ze, which one? Yom Hukam HaMishkan. The day the Mishkan was consecrated, which is 1 month ago, it's when Rosh Chodesh Nisan, that is the day that was mentioned in the end of Shemot, the day in Vayikra, the day which was mentioned in Bamidbar, but now, pay attention. It's going to tell you all kinds of things, 15 things. There's another place, Rashi does not quote this midrash, I believe. Rashi quotes that there were 10 netiot. The Elohim, Adon ki akriv mikem korban, took us to the beginning of Yikra. Tzav et Aron, Parsha Tzav. Kach lacha egel, that took us to the beginning of Shemini. By the way, you notice, Parsha after Parsha. Yain v'shecher altesh, that's the continuation of Shemini. Ish ish mi beit Yisrael asher yishchat kemasei eretz Mitzrayim. Those are Parshio, which are, again, subsequent to Shmini. We have their Achrimot, Kedoshim Tiyu. Now we're in Parsha Kedoshim, which means when it said, when Parsha Kedoshim began, where it says, Daber kol adam b'nei Yisrael, Martin Kedoshim Tiyu, that's what Moshe was to go and gather them. But when did God say this to Moshe? So this is telling us that this is that same day God told him that as well. What are we up to? Emor el Kohanim, v'yishlechu min ha-machaneh, that is a little bit earlier. V'yishlechu min ha-machaneh is actually in Bamidbar. Kol tivarchu, That's also in Bamidbar. Kach mi'itam nasi achad liyom. That's in, again, Parshat Naso. Bahalotcha, that's still in Bamidbar. Kachet levihim, that's in Bahalotcha. V'yichulecha para aduma, that's Parshat Chukat in Bamidbar. V'yomar shema Moshe nasi achad liyom, that is in Bahalotcha nasi achad liyom. Which means these are all these sections. Again, when we read them, V'yidver Hashem Moshe lemar, right? It just sounds kind of like, that's the way that the Torah talks. It says, no, here are 15 different things which, according to this midrash, all taught on that day. Again, for my interest, I think the one that we did not know, or even to think to imagine, is that Kedoshim was taught on that day. And that itself is interesting, because you could have argued that a lot of these things are really discussing the man-to-God relationship. And over here, we have something which is an interpersonal relationship as well, with this aspect of Mishkan and so on. This is a day the Mishkan is created. So you would say, okay, what purpose is the Mishkan created? The Mishkan is created for Mishkan work. So that's why it's really interesting, especially the way that we noted in the beginning, that there is this aspect of the interpersonal, this aspect of the Mishkan, and therefore I can't think or I can't imagine creating a holy world if that holiness does not affect the world itself. If it's only in some closed building, and the only way that you do ritual is where holiness is, and that's what really makes this addition that Parsha Kedoshim is mentioned over here as well. Now, just to continue with this a little bit, because now it's going to connect to one of these other things, it's going to say over here, V'yom HaShem Moshe, Nasi Achad Layom, that was said as well. Now, there were 12 Nasiim and then 12 days. This is from Rosh Chodesh going on for the next 12 days. One Nasi each day is going to bring the offering. So when God said, Nasi Achad, Amar Lahem Moshe, L'kulchem Ne'amar Li, Shetikrivu, Avo Lo Ne'amar Li, Mimi Kem Yakriv Rishon. No one knows who should go first. Now going back to this idea of Kiddush Hashem. By the way, now you realize why Parshat Kedoshim is part of this discussion, is because we've been talking about from Kedoshim going through Emor, this idea of this Kiddush Hashem or the Chilul Hashem. Have you sanctified God's name? Have you desecrated God's name? Now we're talking about something or someone who's going to be helping to go about to celebrate the creation of the Mishkan. Says, who should be able to do this? The person who actually operated outside of the Mishkan, Ze Kidesh Moshe Kadosh Baruch Hu Al Hayam. Now, right now, when you notice that it's Al Hayam, this should then connect it with all those references that we noticed before about what's the Yam doing here? Why in the world are we talking about the Yam? So, yeah, you could have said, yeah, on the Yam is where Mishpat took place, but now you realize that it's a little bit more interesting because it's also the one who, you know, the spark plug, who starts the whole thing off of going through the Yam, that is Nachshon. V'hu ra'ui lahorid ha'shchina. And he's the one who's worthy to bring down the Shechina. V'hu mikem yakriv rishon, l'kach nemar makriv yom rishon Nachshon, b'kulam k'tiv korbano, u'bo k'tiv v'kiravnu, b'kulam amru atidim chaserbo, and so on. Here it does the atudim. I didn't need source 13, but I'm just going to tease it out of what he said. I could have asked it anyway, but he added one thing to this, which I liked. Tolei Yaakov Yosef, of course, if you don't know, is one of the major students of the Besht, the Baal Shem Tov. Over here it says, Amar Moshe li Yisrael Kodesh Baruch Hu, Amar li shetakrivu, Avo lo ne'amar li mimikem yakrivchem natnu einem b'nachshon mishiftei Yehuda. So just added one more aspect in, not just Nachshon from Yehuda. By the way, that just helped us with something else. Because in the very beginning, when we were talking about God's kingship and us enthroning God, and then Malchut Beit David has a purpose, so now you realize that this whole thing is so much more interesting because Nachshon becomes an essential part of all of this, and Nachshon, of course, is from Yehuda, and therefore by saying the tribe of Yehuda. Now, whether David HaMelech is literally from Nachshon or not is something we could discuss. The whole genealogy is more complicated than I could deal with, but it is nonetheless interesting over here that he focuses specifically on Yehuda. Now, the other thing about Yehuda is over here it focuses specifically on Shekidesh, right, Al-Hayyam, but we also know that with Yehuda himself, there's this other aspect, and that is that when his sons do whatever they do, which, by the way, I'm willing to even consider to be somewhat akin to Moloch, but they do whatever it is that they do, and then he does not allow his third son to marry Tamar, And when she finally comes and, well, she realizes he's coming and then she dresses up as a zonah. So that was also one of the things that we've seen along the way. But the other is that the only other time in the Torah that the word kadesha is used other than we had seen in over there, not to be lotia kadesha, but Yisrael, is that when he goes looking for this woman that he treated as a zonah, and he sends a message in Pasuk of Aleph, Yishal Tanshi Makomad, Lemar, Ayeh HaKadesha. Why do I love that? Instead of Ayeh Makom Kvodo, Ayeh, right, looking for holiness, Ayeh HaKadesha. And they tell him, Lo Yitab Bezeh Kadesha. There wasn't over here. And then Yehuda stands as a judge when he finds out that she's pregnant and says, take her out to be killed. And this is, of course, the opposite of Mishpat, which is pretty much where everything stands. And now we will read a Tosefta at the very end, then Vayakir Yehuda, Vayomet Satkami Menu, which goes back to Tztaka and Tzedek and Mishpat. But let's first read a Tosefta, as you see, a long Tosefta in Brachot, and then we'll try to put this all together. The earlier part of this Tosefta tells us that Rabbeinu Tarfon was involved in teaching, and that's really where this is coming from, so I don't want to do the whole thing because you see this enough afterwards. Amr Lehem Eshal, Amr Lehem Bnei Rabbeinu, Amr Lehem Bnei Mazacha, Yehuda Lamalchut, Bnei Shodah B'Tamar. So that's our starting point, Tosefta. So what did Yehuda do? That he goes first. By the way, you do realize now there's two different possibilities. Okay, but if you don't realize it yet, as of right now, why does he go first? Because he admitted, which is really interesting, because Yehuda was Hodem, was Modem. Yehuda becomes Yehuda when he admits. So notice the play in words over there, because that's really interesting. Maaseh bar bazakinim shel Yehoshua bebeit sha'ar shel Rabbi Yeshua. There were rabbis sitting there in the outside gate by Rabbi Yeshua, Elazar ben Mityah, v'Chananya ben Kinai, v'Shimon ben Azai, v'Shimon ha-Temani. I know there are people who pronounce it not as Temani, as Timani, but we have a Temani daughter-in-law, so this is ha-Temani. Well, you askim b'meshesh shana lehem Rabbi Kiva. They were involved in the teaching of Rabbi Kiva. Nei mazach hayu de l'malchut. Okay, back, continuation of our same question. V'mnei shehoda b'tamar. That's what Rabbi Tarfon had said. Hosifu hein ma'atzmam, asher chachamim yagidu v'lo kechidom yavotam lehem levadam netnu ha'aretz. Amr lehem, right? They said, let's continue. V'chinat nun schar alav erot. What are you talking about? How can you say, because he admitted after doing horrific things, this meaning not going further down the rabbit hole of terrible behavior should not be the reason why he becomes the melech. Because he saved his brother from being killed. How that? By the way, this is also not wonderful. Because he did not agree to kill Yosef and only to sell him. You do realize this is not the best. Yeah, but bnei shitzil tachav mita shenem of yom yudav chav ma betza. Omer lehem daya lahatzalash tachaber ala mechira. Are you kidding? That and best that's going to help for his guilt in terms of the mechira itself. So he didn't do something worse. Come on, el neimazachay yudel machut. Omer lehem bnei anava, because he was very modest. Shenem of atayoshev na abdecha tachatanar. Says I'll take his place. So he's saying, okay, being somebody modest is something which will help in terms of being in this, to get to a position of malchut. We're going to skip a little bit. He was an Arev. Of course he had to take his place. He said to Yaakov that I take responsibility of Silva Shal Arev. Let's say that they are Vuto. When you sign that you're going to be an Arev for somebody, how do you say that in English, Arev?
A guarantor.
You sign on the Mashkanta that you're going to pay someone's Mashkanta. So don't be surprised when they knock on your door and they take over your bank account. That's what you signed up for. You notice it's not satisfied yet. So now it goes back to that phrase we were looking for the Kiddush Hashem. Because what's the whole point of Malchut is to create a Kiddush Hashem. What's the whole point of Malchut is to be the earthly manifestation of God's Malchut in order to create this wonderful connection. So it had to, of course, be a Kiddush Hashem. Kishabo Shaftim Vamdu Alayam Ze Omane Aniyarid Vize Omar Aniyarid Kafat Shifto Shel Yehuda. Notice, Shifto Shel Yehuda. Instead of just Nachshon, Shifto Shel Yehuda V'yirad Chila V'kidei Shmo Shel Makom Al Hayam. They're the ones who helped create the Kiddush Hashem. And by the way, again, that the Mishpat takes place and the wicked are punished. Valoto Sha'a, who Omer, who She'ini Elim Ki, Ba'umaymad Nafesh, Tav'ati Bi'avin Mitzula, Ve'in Mumad, and so on. Va'omer, hopefully everybody read this morning, Haita Yehuda L'Kadsho, Yehuda Kideish Moshe Kadosh Baruch Liyam, Lefichach Yisrael, Mimam Shelotav. So therefore, this idea of the Malchut is actually the same idea. Again, I'm repeating myself, the same idea of creating the Kiddush Hashem. So I just want to go back and make sure that we see the line and see the connection over here. Essentially, we have this obligation of Kiddusha, which by itself is a wonderful obligation. We need to be holy. And as I said from the very beginning, you know, we have this argument between Rashi and the Ramban, what exactly does it mean to become holy? So it's interesting to me that if you start reading further, you realize that it's not an isolated, it's not a one-time usage, it's something rather which then creates the theme moving forward. There needs to be Kedusha. We also learn along the way that Kedusha is the opposite of Chilul Hashem. We also learned along the way that there were a number of references to Znut on the one hand, or this idea of Kedusha, where there is similar to Kedusha, but there's lacking the God consciousness or the God connection, and therefore it ends up creating something which is very, very different from actual Kedusha. We see in this in that long Tosefta, we see this debate which takes place. What was it about Yehuda whereby Yehuda ends up being the first? Now, one of the reasons, I have to make sure we understand this, one of the reasons why this is significant, it's one of the 15 things that happened on that day, which means there is a direct connection between Kedoshim Tiyu and that the Nisim start their offerings on that day, and specifically Yehuda is on that day. So essentially, for me, and I'm going to say it again, for me that was really the starting point by asking myself, hold on a second, Kedoshim Tiyu really seems to be the outlier among all the other things that it talked about, because everything else really did seem to be so much more ritual-oriented as opposed to something which is something else independent, especially when you notice how the idea of Kedoshim is used specifically in the same chapter, but even further moving along in Vayikra. So then asking myself this question, so again, what does this mean that Kedoshim is creating Mishpat and so on? That's what leads us to Malchut, which means that's what seems to be the underlying message that this Midrash is trying to tell us. There were 15 things, Kedoshim to you is one. And again, I'm not going through every one of them because most of them are very easy. They're about the Mishkan. So who brought about the Kedusha of the Mishkan? Oh, that's who brought out the Kedusha of the Mishkan? That's easy. That was Yehuda. Yehuda brings about the Mishkan. He's the one who brings down the Shekhinah. Which means if we never understood before, hold it, why is the role of Malchut Beit David eventually to bring about the Beit HaMikdash as well? No, that goes back to Yehuda. That goes back to this concept of Kiddush Hashem. That goes back to this idea of creating justice on this world. It's not just something, you know, that Mashiach has this checklist, does this, this, and this. No, it's creating knowledge of God on this world. It's creating a Kiddush Hashem on this world. It's creating God consciousness on this world. There needs to be a change on this world. You know, one of the biggest corruptions theologically in the history of the world was this idea of Christianity that you can have Mashiach but without the Messianic age. You know, no, you don't need that. Oh, that all happened some other time. Wonderful. Okay, until then. Which means Judaism couldn't entertain the possibility of someone being Mashiach without doing what Mashiach needs to do. That's exactly the point. So over here, tracing backwards, hold it. What's the origins of Yehuda? Where does all this come from? And that's the other thing Christianity could not possibly imagine, the whole sordid history and background of Yehuda. But that doesn't indicate, that doesn't stop who Yehuda becomes. There does become Malchut. There does become this ability of creating this Kiddush Hashem. But Kiddush Hashem, so if you go back to that trial of Tamar, that becomes very important because justice then takes place at the end of the day. She is the one who's not guilty. She's more innocent than he is. That becomes very important because that's part of what Kedusha is creating a place of holiness and of justice. And I'll say it again. It could be that the various aspects of Yehuda's life which is, again, a really interesting background to Kedoshim to you. And all those various aspects may all be added up together in order to create Nachshon, in order to create that tribe, in order to create the consciousness of that tribe, that the tribe is the one who's going to jump in first, and they're the ones who are going to be the day that the Shekhinah is going to come down. But as I said, the backdrop of all of this, I think, is much more interesting than we normally note. And in this case, what we really did is we looked at the various Midrashim and then tried to understand how they are connected to the Psukim, even though the Psukim themselves needed to be paid attention to. And anybody who's going to give these long, and I'm sure lots of people will, these long and learned interpretations of what Kedoshim Tiyu is, and only focus on that Pasuk itself without looking at all of the other usage, and we didn't look at all of them, by the way, there's more, to look at the other usage just moving forward, I think they kind of miss the mark. But as I said in the beginning, that Rav Lichtenstein was very interested in the concept of Kedusha and the idea of Kedusha and doing things with Kedusha and having a God consciousness and having a world which is just and having a world where there really is going to be a Kiddush Hashem. So all of these things which I think very much interested him. For us, you know, everything we're learning this year is clouded and, you know, by the war, but is also clarified by the war, and therefore going to war and defending our people and sometimes helping God create justice in the world, all of that is a Kiddush Hashem, an absolute Kiddush Hashem. And it's also something that we need to be focused on and not to listen to various opinions of the world, proportionality, and so on and so forth. There is really a battle between good and evil. It's something that we need to absolutely understand, that the people involved in fighting and protecting are people who are involved in Kiddush Hashem and the Kadesh Shem Shemayim. God should protect all of them. And part of, I think, the really important concept of Judaism, that we can have a concept of Kiddush Hashem without, unfortunately, having to die al Kiddush Hashem. You know, this juxtaposition between Yom HaShoah on the one hand and Yom HaZikaron and Yom HaAtzmaut on the other hand is something which is very jarring, and especially during the moments of silence when one thinks and contemplates all the Kiddush Hashem which has taken place, that we hope that we're able to lead lives of creating Kiddush Hashem while living vibrant, healthy, religious lives without doing Kiddush Hashem in the, I'll say the old-fashioned way, in the way where a person sacrifices their life. We're looking to live our lives by Kiddush Hashem.